I'll go ahead and call us to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, December 2nd, if the audience would join the board in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next is public comment. Section number one, this comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. Consideration of minutes from 11:25.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion is second. Any additions or corrections? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. It's been approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Approval.
Second.
Motion is second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Consideration of claims.
Move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved. Consent agenda. Add utility permit 1538.
Wow, only one. Huh? Yep. Move approval with noted changes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Consent agenda has been approved. That takes us down to public hearings. Third, consideration of ordinance 233, amending section 89.02, signs of Story County Code of Ordinance.
I'll actually summarize the two public hearing items and saying that we've received no further public comment on either one of them, and I guess if they are adopted today on third consideration, I think they'd be published, if my dates are right, on the 11th and completely official on the 12th of December.
Okay. Any questions for Charlie? If not, I'll open the public hearing. If anybody has any questions or comments on amending section 89.02 of the Code of Ordinance, now would be the time. And not seeing any rush towards the microphone, I'll turn to the board.
Okay. And I will move approval of ordinance number 233, amending section 89.02.
Second the motion.
We have a motion. Did I close the public hearing? I did, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah.
Motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved on third reading.
Good.
The next is consideration of ordinance 234, and this is covering the commercial wind towers. Anybody have any? I'll open the public hearing. If anybody has anything, any questions or comments on that ordinance change, this would be the time to come forward. Again, not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board.
And I'll move approval of ordinance 234, amending section 8508 and section 90.1.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve ordinance 234. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved on third reading. Thank you, Charlie, for your work on this.
Thank you. You bet.
Additional items. Discussion and consideration of draft capital improvements plan and public review process. Leanne Harder.
Okay. My chauffeur.
Your given, chauffeur?
Given a new title. Temporary chauffeur.
Yes, Wayne and I have had some good bonding drives lately. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have just a few slides to just bring you up to speed. This is an annual event. It's our second annual to be. Just to start it off, the board adopted the first capital improvements plan last February 2014. I won't go into too much detail on what a CIP is, a capital improvements plan. The board is well aware of that. But just quickly, the draft CIP in front of you very closely resembles that was adopted last year. The only thing that has changed are the projects. But I will remind the board and those present that the Story County has defined terms. We define capital assets and capital projects. Those projects are those above $25,000. If a project reaches that threshold, it then comes onto the CIP. The same is true for equipment, too. If purchase or lease of equipment goes beyond $75,000, it then comes on the CIP. This is a precursor for the board's budget discussions that will take place in January, and then we'll be back, or I will be back in front of you in February for final action on the draft CIP. Bringing it to you today so that you have an opportunity to see it and then put it out there for public review during the month of December. Just quickly, there are 5 years that are contained within this draft CIP. It's this current fiscal year, and those are identified as current projects. And then we go out actually this year till year 4, which is through fiscal year 2019. If you'll recall, last year we only went out 3 years, and we've extended it out a year this time frame. On the image on the slide, the lower right-hand corner is a process we followed, very similar to what we did last year. Staff reached out to department heads and elected officials to have them submit projects to put on the draft CIP, and then we reviewed those and then came up with some figures and then did bring them forward to you today. Just the organization, on the screen you'll see the heart and soul of the capital improvements plan are the projects that are defined. For current projects, those are ones in this current fiscal year, and then again, as I said earlier, up to fiscal year 2019. It's organized. The first column is the proposed projects. Second is the type of project, whether it's new construction, a new project, if it's an equipment purchase, or it's a maintenance project. The next column is a fiscal year, and then we go into the CIP year with the next column, the department that's primarily responsible for that project's implementation, the estimated amount, and I'm going to stress these are very, very much preliminary estimates as a placeholder. Obviously, as plans get defined and projects get drawn up, whatever, these amounts become more definitive, and that is what is indeed budgeted then. And then we've identified some potential funding sources. Those current projects that we have in the budget this year are currently underway. There are 5 of those. The Dakins Lake expansion, the courthouse security and attorney office consolidation, the study and project planning work. The implementation phase comes next. Tower and communications equipment upgrades, which we are well into. The Hickory Grove sewer installation, and then Prairie Rail Trail extension planning. Those are all in the current fiscal year budget and, as such, are identified as current projects. Those for year 1, or fiscal year 2016, include secondary road building improvements.
That's 2 new buildings.
Yep, 2 new buildings.
Potentially, 1 down by Kelly, 1 up by Gilbert.
Okay.
The construction and improvements of the courthouse and county building security. The election equipment purchase, which the board knows the board has been setting aside funding over a number of years for that purchase. Hickory Grove Campground Shower Building and Storm Shelter. This is a new project that has been added. And then the Iowa State Research Park Green Space Design Initial Work. And again, this is a new project too. So these are all year 1. Going into year 2, which takes us out to fiscal year 2017, is a paving Grant Avenue from 190th to Gilbert. This was included on last year's CIP, so it's a continuation of that project. And then the completion of the Iowa State Research Park Green Space. If the board recalls, there was also a paving of another road, 600th, that has been since removed, recommended to be removed on the draft CIP. And then fiscal year 2018, which is the third year, outbuilding storage to be located out by the Justice Center, and then administration building infill addition study and planning work, that's for this building.
Both of those were shifted a year later from last year.
Yep.
From what was recommended last year.
And then year 4 is actually the improvements for the admin building. So you'll see the heftier projects are the most current in the year 1 and 2, and then it goes out further. And so there are several opportunities for the public to provide feedback during the month of December. We have comment sheets that are available online. There's a couple opportunities to online. You can go to our online forms And that, if this works right, will bring you up to this page. And you can type in this white space and hit submit, submit and print. When you submit, it comes right to my email. And so I will keep track of those and share that with the board. Another opportunity is you can go to the county's blog. Hopefully this works too. And down here, if you don't have, if you haven't set up through Civic Plus, the Notify Me and all that, you will have to log in and create an account to be able to post a blog on our blog. But I will track those two and bring those to the Board of Supervisors. In addition, I'll put links to both of those on the county's Facebook page and Twitter. And then we do have paper copies like last year, just a simple sheet. The draft projects are on the back. And then opportunity for just white space to provide comment on the front. And we'll have those at the main entry desk. And then in January, with your first budget meeting, I'll be back in front of you to share the comments we received. And then again in February, bring back for final approval. Are there any questions for me?
My only question is, what's expected of us today? Do we need to take any action on this? This is just what's coming forward to us as part of the budget process, We would approve it or modify it or whatever at that point.
Yeah.
Is this part of that? Some of this will be talked about at that pre-budget time right before we start and taking a look
the,
at
the kickoff, I believe, of the budget again this year, Leanne, will involve you giving this report formally to the board so that we have that in mind as we do the rest of our budget work.
The only thing that we are doing different this year is using our social media and our blog and our website more than we did last year. So if you're okay with me going forward putting all that information, that would be that about the only action I would need today from the board.
Yeah, this is listed under consideration, so if nothing more than just to accept the draft.
Okay, so I move approval, acceptance of the draft as presented.
Mm-hmm.
I have a motion and a second to accept the draft CIP and review process, public review process. Anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been adopted.
Thank you.
Thanks, Leanne.
Thanks, Leanne.
Next, discussion and consideration of proposed Story County funding fiscal year 15-16 asset requests. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Morning.
It's different than what's posted online here?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I provided you with two documents. The one pager is, at the top it says, request for Central Iowa Community Services. These are funds for mental health and disability services. Those funds, as you know, go through the regional governing board. So this particular document is for your information purposes. So just so you have an idea of what those requests look like. And the reason for the decrease is primarily because the majority of the services provided by Ireley Ball and Mainstream Living are covered under Medicaid, and so we have more individuals under that funding source as a result of expanded Medicaid associated with the Affordable Care Act that went into place January 1st of this calendar year. So that's just for your information. The other document our requests of the county under general basic funds, a local option, and public health. And the changes on this particular document are highlighted. Heartland Senior Services, line 29, request for adult day center services, mm-hmm. or adult daycare. And then on the second page, lines 58 and 73, youth and shelter services, their pregnancy prevention. Those three items did not get included in the first version that was sent out. So That changes the overall request a little bit. Some of the things I want to highlight in the request, just so you kind of understand why there's some increases and some decreases. Line 8 under accesses shelter services, there's a significant increase in their ask, and that's overall. That's over all the funders. Their shelter, if you remember, a couple of years ago, the Attorney General's office had required domestic abuse and sexual assault service providers to regionalize, and so Access was impacted by that. And the actual shelter that is funded through the state for our area is located in Fort Dodge. And because of the continued need that we see locally for the shelter that's operated by Access, that shelter has continued to be open. It does not bring in any state funding, but it's primarily supported by local dollars. It's also still used by Boone and Greene counties, and I know that Access requests dollars of those entities as well. But that's, I think we're going to continue to see requests for that particular service to go up, but it is utilized here in our community. On line 15, Boys and Girls Club of Story County, the basis behind the increase ask there is they are looking at starting after-school programming in Nevada. They've been working with the Nevada School District on implementing that, and they're actually doing a pilot program right now, starting January 1st of this fiscal year, to see how many students will be enrolled, that kind of thing. But that's the basis behind an increase there. If you drop down to line 38, NAMI of Central Iowa, the Emergency Assistance Program, we're shifting that over to the mental health services. So that is why there's a zero there. And let me see. Those were the highlighted things I wanted to bring to your attention. Are there any questions on this yet?
Not on this document, but more future FYI. Last night I attended a meeting at the Ames Public Library. We had a young lady from DHS come in and give a presentation about foster care and looking at the need for homes, to have a foster care homes for our youth in Story County, particularly Ames and so forth. And under our current funding model and so forth, I know YSS has had some programs and so forth. Are there other options? One of the things that this was just more or less informational last night, but we were concerned about how do we actually follow up to get more information in terms of if we want to see programs enhanced to meet some of the needs for foster care in the county. Who do we contact through the asset process or through the governing process if we thought that this might be something that we'd want to do? This is just very preliminary at this point, but I found that it was certainly a need that I was not aware of, and I guess I was expressly interested because the demographic shows that African-American youth, again, both male and female, there's a high need of placement, particularly in African-American families, if at all possible. But I was just curious in terms of where would something like that be for future interest if we saw a need for programs, and they actually talked about certain types of products and services that they could fund through DHS, maybe through local churches, through individuals. And so I think there's a community networking that DHS has in place, but I was just curious after that meeting to do some follow-up with you a little bit later in terms of how could we get more awareness and understanding of what services and what programs really are available beside foster grandparents, but just actually foster care.
Right. Okay. And foster care is really a responsibility of the Department of Human Services through the Child Welfare Services. And both YSS and Lutheran Services in Iowa have programs that recruit and retain foster care families. Historically, those kinds of requests had been brought to ASSET, but because there's a mechanism for state funding to be accessed for those, that's the route that those programs are using at this point in time. But we can certainly talk with both of those agencies to see where they're seeing the needs. And I know the recruitment is an ongoing thing,
right,
and trying to
right.
find that. And I don't know what kinds of methods they're using to reach out to new families or to new foster homes, mm-hmm. but that's something we can certainly engage in communication with those agencies and see how we can, you know, help support that. I do know that there are other services within LSI and YSS that those foster families use to help support those kids that they're bringing in.
Great. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll keep you posted as I learn more about it in the upcoming months.
Deb, these are requests from the providers, or are they recommendations from our ASSET team, or both?
Yep. At this point in the ASSET process, these are requests from the providers. So they're taken from the budget book and the budgets that providers submitted the end of September. And the next step in the process will be then for the agency hearings in January, and then the volunteers will be making those recommendations that second week in January that will then come forth to the Board of Supervisors for final consideration. So these are just purely the requests coming from the agencies for those services.
And what are you looking for from us today?
What we've done in the past is we've asked the governing bodies to give a proposed amount so that when we get together in January, we have parameters, a funding parameter, so that the volunteers can make those recommendations using the funder priorities and then staying within the funding parameters of each governing board. So if there is a preliminary amount or percentage that the board is comfortable with proposing today, then I can share that with the ASSET group when we meet later this month.
Yeah, and so I've got three different answers for that. Under general basic, we have some capacity, but I didn't think we had 12% capacity. I thought we had more like 10% capacity, which would be an increase of 50,000 right in there. Local option scares me to death. I'm not sure we've got any capacity to increase there. And we just need to dig in with Lisa Markley a little more to see if there's any capacity. But my gut feel is that one needs to stay at about 15,000 and not go up. And then, Paul, I'm going to look to you for public health dollars if there's the ability to increase that. Or Deb, maybe you know. I haven't dug into the public health dollars.
Yeah, I'm not aware of where. And usually that's information. Those are state dollars, and that's information that we get. We just have to kind of do a proposed amount at this point. But it's information we get from the state at the closure of the legislative session.
And so I'm fine with leaving $320,000 in there as a placeholder, which is an increase of 6%.
Right.
I just don't know that one. I struggle with going up 12% in our general basic. While we have capacity, and I'd like to see a really nice increase, I think 10% is a really nice increase. And so I'd suggest we work kind of on that $550,000 mark rather than the $563,000.
Right.
And then I'm going to be most comfortable if we leave local option where it is at 15.
And something to look at, too, in local option, line 74, it says asset, and then it says administrative services. And we're pulling approximately $3,500, $3,600 out of local option to cover our asset expenses, so printing, those kinds of things, as well as our asset administrative person. Something the board could consider doing is moving those expenses up to general basic dollars, and then that would free up some dollars in local option to actually go towards services. And we've shifted that back and forth a couple of different times based on availability in those two different funds.
And I think that makes a whole lot of sense. Then we can leave the local option at 15, but we actually increase capacity there. And then just keep the general basic somewhere in that $550,000 range, even shifting that $3,500 up. And so if we need a motion, I'll make that motion on those three areas. My three are roughly $550,000 available in general basic, $15,000 available in local option, but we shift the asset administrative cost up to general basic, and then public health as a placeholder, $320,000.
I'm trying to write it all down. Okay. Okay. I will second the motion. Good.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anything further, any further discussion?
Now, basically, these just gives you a range of parameters by which when we go to talk about the funding possibilities, that these are the targeted figures. That doesn't lock us in currently that for each of these at this point, but it's because there could be some adjustments at a later time.
Correct. This is just to help give the volunteers some parameters. The recommendations that come from asset to the Board of Supervisors, that is always up to you to make any adjustments to.
Good.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's those have been approved with the changes noted. Thanks, Deb.
Thank you.
Next is discussion and consideration of recommendation to appoint a transition manager for the Community Life Program Services transition. Deb, again.
All right. The evaluation team from the region has been monitoring the services transition at CLP and just kind of keeping an eye on things, especially since we move into the second half of fiscal year 15. And one of the things that had been recommended through the consultants in their report was the consideration of a transition manager as things move along with the services transition. And although a provider or providers still have to be identified for that actual service transition, we feel that it's important to be looking at a position to help oversee that as we move into the last half of the fiscal year. And the position would also have a key role in the day-to-day financial operations at CLP since the financial person left a few months ago. So it is the recommendation of the evaluation team that the Board of Supervisors consider having this position for the remainder of the fiscal year to help oversee that transition, to help focus on getting clients referred, to work with CLP staff and the CLP director on making sure there are appropriate levels of staffing during the transition, and then to work closely with those new service providers.
Okay. Alyssa, would you come up here for just a minute? We've had some discussions on this over the past week or so. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about how you see this position?
Okay. Yep. In our discussions, we talked about what the duties you want this position to do, the responsibility, the interaction with CLP employees, the director, the Board of Supervisors. After looking at everything, it is more of an employee-employer relationship versus an independent contractor relationship. We did look at that situation, whether we could bring somebody in as an independent contractor to do that. Because of that relationship that we discussed, it's our recommendation that it is an employee, a regular position. It would not be a permanent position. It would be listed as a position through June, tentatively through June 30th. We've done that with a lot of the positions as we post them. It's not a regular pay plan staff position. We wouldn't have a job description where we would score it out on our pay plan. It's a pretty specialized position. A lot of the duties are as an independent that you would see as an independent contractor. It's just the way that we have it set up. It doesn't work for us that way.
Okay. And this would, the position would more than likely go past the end of the fiscal year by 2 or 3 months in order to get some cost reporting done.
Since it would handle the financial operations, we do need somebody to take care of the cost report.
Okay.
And then to wrap up, I think any financial things that need to be done to help with the county's audit when the state auditor comes in, usually in August, September.
Okay.
Talk me through, who does this person report to? If Story County's hiring them, who does it report to?
The Board of Supervisors.
Straight to the Board?
Correct.
Primary responsibility for the financial matters. It looked to me like this was right on the line between an independent contractor and an employee.
It could probably go either way.
I don't care which way it goes, whatever. We just need to make sure we're getting the job done and providing as much support to our staff at CLP as we can while they do the very important job of providing the services in the transition. So I'm fine with that. I want to make sure that it's appropriate to fund this out of mental health dollars as long as we don't go over our CLP budget for the year. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about general dollars into this. Okay, I'm good.
Wayne, anything?
No. As I say, I was out last week, but, I was able to touch base with Alyssa yesterday and just had a brief conversation with Ron yesterday and just familiar with the process that has been talked about, and I feel very comfortable that the direction that we're taking is a proper one for us to move forward during the transition phase.
Ron, you have anything you want to add?
I just have a question.
How'd you come up?
Sorry, I can move.
As you know, we have several accounts with my name on them at CLP. So I'm assuming that you would want this new person to be put on those accounts instead of me. That's just a question I have.
I'm going to look at Deb for that answer.
We'll need to talk about
what
we're talking about.
We have our account that's for the payee-ship. And then we have a activities account that Maureen manages right now. And then we also have what we call a memorial fund, which was donations given by families that we use for people to help them start up an apartment and those kind of things.
Okay.
So my name is on all of those accounts, and I just kind of want some direction as to where you want to go with that.
Are there any other names on the accounts as backup?
Yes, and I'd have to check to see who's on which account. But yeah.
And I would guess that your name's on there because you're the director.
Right.
And I think that's something we could probably, it's going to have to be switched anyway to take your name off. And if there's a name in place of that, I would think it should be the name of the director to continue.
Right. The continuity of operation and everything. Yeah.
Right.
We can check with
the financial person is going to have to be on some of those accounts too, if you want to go that direction, because the banking that they're going to have to do.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, that's good to bring to our attention. I think that's something we can certainly look into and make sure that's proper. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the process for appointing this person?
Since it is considered an employee of the county, we do have a 10-day minimum posting requirement. That's the veterans preference requirement. So we would post it. If it's approved, I would post it, write up the job description, do that, and then the board would hire the individuals for that position.
Okay.
Okay.
and starting as soon as possible?
Correct. We've discussed this. We would really like there to be some overlap with Ron before he is done. We're going to push it, mm-hmm. but that's our goal.
Okay. I would move approval of the recommendation to appoint a transition manager for CLP transition as submitted.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to approve the hiring of a transition manager. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. That's been approved. Thanks, both
thank
of you.
Thank you.
And Ron, thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Agency reports. Retired and Senior Volunteer Program. Welcome.
Hey, hey.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
All right. Okay.
How are you? Do you have a good Thanksgiving? Good?
Yes, thank you. Well, good morning, and I just want to first of all say thank you for an opportunity to come and speak to your group, and also thank you for all of your past support of RSVP. This is hot off the press, so I just wanted to kind of give you an overview of the past fiscal year and speak to our three main services, the first of which is volunteer management for 55 plus, 55 and older adult volunteers. That's our core service that we've been involved in Story County since 1973. Then we also have disaster services, volunteer management for disaster. We contract with the City of Ames and with Story County Emergency Management to provide a system for the mobilization of volunteers in the event of a disaster. And then more recently, starting in January 2010, our volunteer driver transportation program, so our transportation services, our three main core services. I have the annual highlights on the front page, and I won't go through all of that, but I think it's kind of worth looking at. The biggest changes that we've seen in our program or in our services this year have probably been through our transportation program. We've seen a lot of growth in that program, a lot of an increased need for that. On the inside, it does have the statistics from this last fiscal year, but those are the statistics for what ended in June, and even since then we've seen a significant increase in the need for that program. Last year we had 55 volunteers that served as drivers, and we, even though we have probably 140 registered clients, they hadn't all access our service. So one of the requirements we have for our clients is that they be registered with our program. And so we had 106 last fiscal year that accessed our services. There were 1,591 way trips provided, and our volunteers drove over 21,000 miles. And most of our clients, the majority, I would say probably 95%, are older adults that are still living independently but just need help getting to and from. And our focus is really on medical appointments. It's our primary focus or our priority, but there are other trips too that our volunteers will do. We just let the clients know that's our priority, is getting them to and from those medical appointments. So if there's a conflict, we're going to go with the client that needs to get to a medical appointment versus the grocery store or a hair appointment, which, you know, if you're 89, that's an important essential service. But anyway, so we've seen a lot of growth in that. Another thing that we started doing this last year for disaster services is we began a new collaboration with the Story County Sheriff's Office, and we're providing pre-trained volunteers that would assist in the event of a missing or abducted person. This is actually kind of an expansion of our volunteer management for disaster program. We've seen ways that we can take that system that works well in the event of a disaster and then expand it to meet other needs. It's the same thing that we're doing with Mary Greeley Home Health Services. I'm having a hard time saying that instead of Homeward, but we partner with them, providing a similar system of pre-trained volunteers that would assist in the event of a pandemic or any time that they would have to treat or vaccinate large numbers of people. So our volunteers through the disaster program continually go through trainings. We have drills ongoing just so we can keep them engaged. It's a good thing that they haven't had a disaster to respond to this past year, but it's also important to know that this county is very prepared if something does happen in terms of mobilizing volunteers. Another one of our focuses, of course, is education, and on the inside is how our volunteers are helping meet that need. We're seeing more and more of an increase in volunteer involvement with assisting children with literacy, and that's going to be one of our main focuses in 2015. We'll be on getting more volunteers involved with working with kids, especially before third grade, to help them be reading at grade level by third grade. And then there's, of course, other projects that we're involved in that are listed here under independent living services, capacity building. One of the things, though, I wanted to share with you, as far as just volunteer management goes, I had an opportunity last month to give a presentation or do a workshop for the Alumni Association on the health benefits of volunteering. And I just wanted to share a little bit of that, because I did a lot of the research on that. In the next two decades, the number of Americans age 55 or older will swell from 76 million to 110 million as the large baby boomer generation continues to age. Older Americans' health and well-being is important for the entire society, and the longer they can live independently, the lower the social costs will be for the society as a whole. Whether older Americans can delay or prevent disability associated with advanced age will depend in part on how they spend their time after retirement. A growing body of research suggests that older adults who are engaged in social and community activities maintain mental and physical health longer than other older adults. Volunteer activities are one way of remaining socially active after retirement. So the research over the past two decades really shows that those that are involved in volunteering have lower mortality rate, they have lower rates of depression, they have greater functional ability, they have lower blood pressure. So it really does especially impact those individuals as they retire to become involved in volunteering. They say older adults are the most likely to receive the greatest benefits from that volunteering. So one of the things I shared with this group was that our oldest active volunteer here in Story County is 101. She just turned 101 last month. She's involved in one of our projects at the school, and every year I always think, well, this will probably be the last year that Esther, you know, wants to get involved. But she continues to say yes. So she's actually been an active RSVP volunteer for 37 years.
Wow.
And so when you think about it, she was born before World War I started, and when she registered with RSVP back in the 70s, the criteria was that you had to be 60, not 55. So she continues to amaze me, along with a lot of our volunteers that are 90-plus and can still continually be active in the community and in their lives. So it's rewarding to see that happen.
And it's good for their health, too.
And it's good for their health. So there you go. I would be happy to address any questions that you might have about any of the services that we continue to provide and what's been going on this past year.
Not so much of that, but as I was sitting here thinking about the volunteers and the disaster recovery and different things, and then you kind of talked about the health factor and all the things, and then it kind of said, well, maybe I don't really want to propose this. But I was thinking, in the day of automation and where we are today, you know, every time we have a flood and sandbagging has to take place, mm-hmm. why has someone not come up with an idea where you have a machine or something, like you would maybe it's sand or gravel, and you dump the sand into that and it would come down a chute, and then people could just tie it up right there rather than having to go through the shovel and all of those types of things? I'm just thinking we could automate, you know, that type of service to meet the need a lot more, but I don't know why I never see that happening, and I don't know if Cal or our engineer have run across any type of a machine similar to that would really speed up that process. And if we had some of those, we could actually make them available regionally. Let's say if flooding happened over in Marshall County, for example, and not much in Story County, that type of machine could be shared in a region that would help expedite the ability to get the sandbags loaded and quickly and in place. But
Sounds like a good invention to me, Wayne.
Well, you know, I just was sitting there thinking about that.
Patent pending.
Yeah.
And I don't know about a machine. I do know in 2010, because we were activated in 2010 when Ames flooded,
right,
and outside of City Hall, they were like large wood frame sandbagging
things.
Yeah, they weren't an official machine,
right,
but they did make it easier for the volunteers to fill the sandbags.
Okay.
But
yeah.
But I think something automated would be great.
You bet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. It's such a vital
thank you.
Service.
You bet.
And,
thank you.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
things. The face of who heads these programs has a lot to do with the number of people that want to get engaged, because you certainly give value to what they do.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your leadership in this area. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
My next departmental report, Facilities Management Department, Cal Pearson, Director.
Right.
Cal, what's going on?
Winter time.
Yes, it is.
Seems like I was just here the other day giving a quarterly report. Time flies, evidently, in the facilities.
When you're plowing snow.
Yeah. We went from mowing grass to plowing snow in a hurry this year. I'd just like to start off, like I usually do, with some numbers for you. Work orders and on-call numbers. Administration building, we had 95 work orders and 8 on calls. CLP group homes, we had 81 work orders, 8 on calls. HSC, we had 48 work orders and 3 on calls. Justice Center, 96 work orders and 8 on calls. And 8 miscellaneous work orders. We've had 2 snow days this quarter already.
Early.
Too early, I agree. Other things that have happened this quarter is during our safety day in October, we had a scheduled repair on our backup generator here at the administration building. And when they got into that, it originally was a coolant leak, and when they tore into it, they also found a main bearing oil leak that had to be repaired, and our backup generator was down for about 3 days here at this building. We've also signed a tower contract with Saber Communications for the installation of a new radio communication tower here at the administration building. That'll be subbed out to Tri-States out of Marion, Iowa. I expect that to start next week, as far as from what I've seen from their schedule. I'll let you know as that progresses. Also this quarter, we lost a 12-year day mechanic from the department. We did some internal promotions of moving Ronnie Dolph into the mechanical afternoon position, and we moved Kevin Winchell from afternoons. He'll be coming to that day position. And starting Monday, we've hired Kelly Ruther as a new custodian for the department, so we'll be back to full staff as of Monday. We also had an issue that came up out at the jail. We found out that the exhaust hood over the stove was not installed correctly when the Justice Center was built. And I'm very happy to say that Dries, the mechanical contractor out of Carroll, Iowa, that originally installed that, came back, made the necessary changes to make it according to the specifications, no charge to Story County.
Great.
So I think that was a stand-up job by Dries Mechanical after all these years to make sure their work was done the way it should be. We delivered voting machines for the auditors and picked up machines. We installed new carpet in booking and dispatch by Carpet One in Ames. The carpet in dispatch is a new static-free type carpet. It has threads of copper through it. You know, in the wintertime when the air gets dry, you touch things and it snaps. Well, that's detrimental to sophisticated electronic equipment. So that was kind of a new thing that we've installed out there to eliminate that concerns out there. We also had a geothermal leak here in the IT area, which fortunately we had some isolation valves, and we were able to repair that in-house, and that's back online with no problems. The other thing is we had a false alarm on a Halon system in the IT room that ended up being just a dirty sensor, and the Halon system was not discharged, thankfully. So other than that, you know, it's business as usual, getting ready for the snow and making sure all the equipment's running. If you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to try and answer them for you at this time.
The parking will change a little bit while they're working on the tower, correct?
Yes, it will, and I'll try to keep everybody informed on that. The south lot will probably be blocked off for a certain amount of time through the construction, and then when we get to the point where the old towers will come down, the east lot will have to be blocked off, and probably some of the entrances to the building, private entrances, will have to be blocked off also at that time.
Okay.
Good. No.
Thanks, Cal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
I know everybody's favorite, but Joe asked if he could be excused today. This is a prime opportunity to do some mulching up at Dakin's Lake while it was frozen this morning. So he wanted to be excused. He promised he'd come back later. So that takes us down to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
Just briefly, had a very brief meeting yesterday with Ron, and it was just an update on the process that we're going through with CLP and so forth, and just to solicit any ideas or comments that he might have had, and he was very pleased with where things are and how we're moving forward. So just a good meeting.
We're getting real close on Justice Center safety renovations and what that old smoker's courtyard and front entrance and sheriff's office will look like. And so expect to see some more than preliminary plans coming before us soon.
And I'll pass. Public forum number two. Comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. Announcements from the supervisor.
Pass.
Just that tomorrow, the Iowa Association of Counties Board of Directors meeting is tomorrow, and I'll be down there for most of the day attending that. And then COSTAR on Friday, which is the county technology group that I'm a part of, and we'll be just wrapping up some of the things that took place at the fall school and so forth. So other than that, that's about it.
And I'll pass also. We've got a request for a closed session from our council.
Understand there's a massive power outage in Detroit. Yeah, just breaking news.
Good morning to the board. Pursuant to Iowa Code Section 21.5 sub 1 sub C, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests the board enter into a closed session to discuss strategy with legal counsel in matters that are presently in litigation or where litigation is imminent, where its disclosure would be likely to prejudice Story County.
I move we go into closed session.
Second.
Motion and a second to go into closed session. Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. We'll recess for 5 minutes and meet in the board conference room.
Yes, nine.
Okay, I'll call us back to order in open session. And
no action is requested from the county attorney's office.
Move adjournment.
Second.
Motion and a second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.